This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. We're continuing our conversation about the Super Bowl and the after effects now that we've had longer than 24 hours to process it. Was it really one of the worst Super Bowls of all time? Can you see the defensive performance by both teams as being something to cherish, something to remember? Or does 13-3 sort of go, hey, you know what, that's not what I was looking for in a game that was billed to me as going to be two offensive teams that were going to supposedly put on a show on the offensive side of the ball? I still look at this game plan by Bill Belichick as being a masterpiece, and that's why in the last hour I asked LaVon Reed of WBZ in Boston, you know, do the Patriots still, are they still a threatening team even after Tom Brady goes off and retires? If you can get a decent enough quarterback, does Belichick's coaching prowess still put his Patriots, even with a halfway decent quarterback, just a good one, in a position to be a threat because of his ability to make great adjustments, find players to make them fit a system and make it work? I mean, look, you got one of the greatest coaches of all times and one of the greatest players of all times, but it is the chicken and the egg argument that has been going on forever and a day. And I don't think the two are mutually exclusive. That need to be together, I should say, in order to form a Super Bowl champion. We've had great coaches win with okay quarterbacks. We've had great quarterbacks win with okay coaches, but we've got this team that has got both, but can Belichick win without Brady? And I think he can. I think he can put the Patriots in position to threaten to win the Super Bowl again. Maybe not win them all the time or go to them all the time like they seem to be doing now. I mean, they've won two out of the last three. They've won six overall. They've been to nine in 17 years. I don't think you get that again. But to think the Patriots are going to go away when Brady retires, I think doesn't give Bill Belichick enough credit as a coach to get that position adequate enough to still be competitive and utilize everything else that football is about to his advantage. Again, you're not going to see this run again, and I don't want to diminish Brady's accomplishments, but what Belichick did was amazing. What he did defensively was absolutely amazing. All right, coming up next, NASCAR is going to be doing something that I wonder if it would work in any other sport. And I'll tell you what that is next on SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could join us, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. So NASCAR is doing something interesting. Now, I'm going to make this a larger issue with the other sports. So if you go to a NASCAR race and they say, like, congratulations, Joey Logano, and he wins the race, right? And then you leave and you get in your car and you're driving away and you're fighting traffic to go back. Well, as you're leaving, the cars in the race are going through post-race inspection. And so if your car fails post-race inspection, what used to happen is you would be fined, you'd be docked some points in the standings. But if you won the race and you failed post-race inspection, nothing would happen. Like, you wouldn't lose the race. And the reason that they did that is they wanted people who came in for the show, bought a ticket for the show, they wanted them to leave knowing who the winner was, right? So, hey, Kevin Harvick won the race, Joey Logano won the race, whoever. If they fail post-race inspection, sure, there's a fine. People might get suspended on the crew, whatever. You know, there's some penalties, but taking away the trophy was never a penalty, was never one of the reasons, you know, one of the punishments. Well, now it is. So you can go to a race. Joey Logano could win the race, fail post-race inspection, and when you get home, you could find out that the runner-up is now going to be awarded that victory for that race because that car is now being disqualified. Would this work in other sports? Would this work in an NFL game, for example, where you leave the stadium, you find out your team won, when you got home, you found out the NFL changed the result, gave it to the loser based on something that disqualified a player, whatever reason, Major League Baseball, NBA. Would this work? So, now, racing is different, I get it, because, you know, but because there's a clear runner-up. But for example, what you're saying is, say it's an important game and there's, I don't know, an egregious pass interference call that didn't get called.
Yeah, something like that.
Are
just,
you saying,
we're just making
I mean,
it
it's,
up.
It's hypothetical. I don't know what game this could ever happen in.
Yeah, and let's just say it was between, let's say, the Saints and let's pick another team, like the Rams.
The Rams, because, you know, we've been talking about them recently. Yeah.
Right, right. And they just gave it to, like, the Rams. They just, you know, just said the Rams win.
No, the Saints win.
The Saints win. I'm sorry, the Saints win. Yeah, because of this call that wasn't made.
Yeah.
Could that work?
Well, New Orleans.
Yeah, in New Orleans it would work. See, I wonder about this because, look, again, I'm taking this to a larger issue here. Is it necessary when, as a ticket buyer, that when you leave the game that the game is final? Right? Warts and all. That the game is final. And that you saw so-and-so win the game. You get in your car, you may not like how they won, or you may enjoy how they won, but feel like it was a little marred. But when you get home, that team won, and that's in the books. Because that's the whole thing, right? They said, let's get the Saints and Rams to replay it. And the league's like, no, we're not going to replay it. It's part of the game. It's part of the deal. Lock it in. Now, NASCAR is saying that these post-race inspections are cheating. But if you talk to NASCAR people, they'll say, oh, cheating, my God, it comes with the territory. People are always trying to cheat.
Yeah, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Ain't cheating, you ain't trying, right, was the old line. So I wonder if this is going to work for NASCAR. I wonder if people are going to be okay with this.
I think it does in the sense of races.
Right, where there's a first, second, and third,
yeah,
right?
Because, I mean, there's a clear cut, you know, okay, you know, I mean, we've had in the Olympics for years. I mean, you know, I'll harken back to, I don't remember which Olympics it was, but when Ben Johnson won the gold medal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we took those
I think it was in
away.
88, right? And then yep. Seoul, Korea. He won the 88 gold medal for Canada, and everyone, you know, he got to all the hoopla, stood on the podium, got to hear his national anthem, came home a national hero, and then it came out a couple months later that, you know what, you cheated. And now the gold medal is awarded to Carl Lewis.
Yeah, that's right. Well, okay, let's do something different. What if Deflategate was larger than it really was?
See, I think it's harder to do that in a sport where there's many more outcomes. We keep going, you know, we talked about Saints Rams ad nauseum and talked right. about the fact that, God, you know, if had this call been made, would the Saints have made the Super Bowl? It's still unsure, it's still unclear if that would have happened. I mean, there's all likelihood, yes. But
okay,
it could have been a couple other things that could have transpired in that game.
Let's keep it to cheating then and not egregious calls.
Okay.
Let's keep it to cheating. Let's say you drug tested every player in an NFL game after the AFC and NFC championship games, and you find out one of the players had PEDs, tested for PEDs.
Well, you know,
after the game.
Let's do the Super Bowl and say, because Edelman had a huge game. He's already been
yep.
busted once.
Let's,
you know,
okay,
hypothetically, let's make Boston mad at us.
Okay. Yeah, right. Let's say that. Let's say it happens. Let's say in baseball, it is discovered that one of the a guy on the team is hitting home runs with an illegal bat or something like a pine tar
corked
or something
bat.
Like that. Corked bat or whatever it is. I mean, anything that's cheating, could what NASCAR is doing work in any sport? And I don't think it can.
I don't think it can either.
I don't think it can. I think this is easy because you're disqualifying a car, so naturally the second place guy wins.
Right, because there's a first, second, third. There's a natural order to the finish.
Right, and so the guy who wins the race, in all likelihood, won because of the cheating, right? Well, that may not be the case in a game where a guy uses a legal bat. I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know if there's even such thing as an illegal bat, but let's say there was. Right? You would say, well, he only went 1-for-4 with a double. Big deal. Okay. All of a sudden, you're getting into the semantics of the game, right? Let's say Julian Edelman is caught with PEDs, just to name a person that. You know, randomly throwing it out there.
No history.
Let's say you did that. Well, you could make the argument that while he had a big game, somebody else could have filled in that role. That his PEDs didn't lead to the Rams not being able to score a touchdown in the game. So there's too many semantics in the game. You know, too many things that are going on in the game that are not affected by one individual of a football team or a baseball team cheating. Where in NASCAR, if you load up one side, if you somehow do something to the car to eliminate air drag, there's a pretty good chance you found the checkered flag for that reason. So, but overall, do you think that works for NASCAR? Do you think like NASCAR fans would be like, oh, he cheated? Okay, I watched a guy who finished second win. Or do you think they're like sports fans and that they go, no, Don't tell me 2 days later that I wasted my money watching a race that was you know, cheated. There was a cheater in the race. Because before they just went, nope, you saw Joey Logano win, congratulations, but we're handling it on this end. There's a money fine, a suspension, we reduce the points. You know, we take care of it over here. But as far as your enjoyment of the race, no, we're not going to taint that whatsoever. You watched so-and-so win, he won. You watched the post-game, post-race ceremony, hoisting the trophy, kissing the girls, he won. And when you get home, he still won. But now they're saying, oh, no, when you get home, that might be totally different. On Tuesday, it could be totally different. But I think in other sports, people would want that. And then people like the idea of going to a game, knowing who won and leaving.
It doesn't work. Like, you know, you mentioned, I mean, if nothing yesterday happened during the game that prohibited the Rams from scoring a touchdown, from even getting into the red zone.
Yeah.
There weren't any bad calls. There weren't any, you know, trick or cheating plays. I mean, maybe it comes out that Belichick was stealing signals and we have signal gate or something
like
that.
Let's go with that. Hold on a second. Let's go with that for a second. Let's say we find out 2 days from now that the Patriots were caught doing something illegal, taping a practice, taping a walkthrough, doing something where they gained a competitive advantage in the game. Would you be okay if the NFL said the Rams are now the Super Bowl champions? They did nothing but finish second in a game, much like that NASCAR driver who didn't have the best car on the day, but they went up against an unfair advantage, just like that second place driver. And the league said Super Bowl 53 is now the Rams championship because we have been brought to our attention that the Patriots were filming practices or walkthroughs.
So would you be okay? I mean, when you paint it like this, I almost want to say it's dangerous for NASCAR to do this because you're creating a slippery slope.
I do too. I don't know if this works. Like, all I don't of a know sudden if this is a good idea.
You know, when we look at the record books, are we just going to have a bunch of asterisks?
Yep.
Next to,
especially in that sport, man, cars fail post-race inspections all the time. Yeah. But here's the other thing. This is the slippery slope for NASCAR, and I'd love to find out what they would plan to do with it. When you're talking about points, when you're talking about being competitive, right? Like right now, a win will get you into the playoffs, so they're really more focused on victories. But what if points matters to get you in? Like, because if you don't have enough winners to fill the playoff, they go to points. What if you say, well, wait a minute, the guy who finished fifth, he failed post-race inspection back in Vegas, and I finished sixth. I could have gotten the fifth place. Why don't you move everybody up?
Yeah, shouldn't we dock him 10 points?
Yeah, why don't we dock him the points and give me the points I'm supposed to get, and that could get me into the playoff? It's such a slippery slope. It's, like, dangerous. Because you're right. Everything is going to be, like, all of a sudden you're not going to know the end results of the NASCAR race until, like, it's all done Wednesday, when it's all locked in. But even if, like, let's just go back to the Spygate example, right? I don't mean to pick on the Patriots, but they just won the Super Bowl, so they're going to get the benefit of this.
Yeah, we can pick on them. But,
right, know. And they were accused of doing this before.
Exactly. So,
but let's say that's the news tomorrow, right? We find out, oh my God, you know, we've got multiple sources and we can now prove that they did this. Would we even want that to occur? Like, would we want that? As fans, I mean, really think about it. It's one thing to say, yeah, they cheated, give it to the Rams. But really, wouldn't we just suspend Belichick and deal with it?
Yeah, it would almost be, well, yeah, because, I mean, what's the alternative? I mean, give it to the Rams. It's like, no, they didn't earn it.
They didn't earn it.
And then, you know, what is it? It's like, okay, are we going to do like Heisman Trophy vacate?
Yeah, I don't. You know, yeah, like, you know, exactly.
Give them the old Reggie Bush treatment. Vacate the. There was no Super Bowl awarded that year because the Patriots cheated. It's like, no, just let it. I guess. I mean, you know, if they cheated and they cheated well enough not to get caught, then hey, good on them.
Yeah, and you know, look at Major League. look at Major League Baseball. It's dealt with all this PED stuff, but it never said Alex Rodriguez is suspended a year. And oh, by the way, every game the Yankees played in is nulled. Right, is taken off the board.
Right.
They went, no, we caught him. All of his numbers still stand. He's suspended. That's his punishment, and that's it. Let's walk away.
Maybe this hurts, you know, if this was to happen, maybe it would hurt Belichick's Hall of Fame candidacy.
Maybe so. But again, I don't even think we would want, like, I got to be honest with you. I don't think I'd want to win. I used to joke about South Carolina. South Carolina played in the SEC title game against Cam Newton and Auburn, and there was all this conversation about Cam Newton getting paid. And I used to make the joke that one year I'll finally get the 2010 SEC champion T-shirt that I deserve. Like one day they'll be like, yep, there's more than enough evidence. Auburn vacates all their wins, including the SEC title, and I'll finally get my shirt. But the reality is, I don't want to win that way. Like, I don't want
right.
to cheating, no cheating,
because you know,
violation,
I mean,
no
if you
violation,
look hard
I
enough, I bet you could find a South Carolina SEC championship shirt. It's somewhere in a third world country. You know that. You know that. You know it's out there.
Yes, I know it's there. If I dig deep, I'll be able to find it on the dark web.
eBay, man, eBay has it somewhere. But you don't want to earn it that way. You want it to see in the commercial with Sports Illustrated with the flip phone.
Yep.
Saying, get your, your South Carolina championship DVD, championship season DVD. And
I'm going to be curious to see how this plays out with the NASCAR community when it's like, oh my God, we have three teams that are now in the championship who came in second and benefited from somebody else cheating.
But I mean, with this argument, the Olympics have been doing it for years.
Yeah, right.
And they continue to do it where, they bust someone who got a gold medal, they'll do it for silver and bronze too. Hey, this person, cheated. We found out years later this person cheated. Guess what? You get a bronze medal now.
Yeah.
And there's no
fanfare. Do they come to your house to get it?
Could they?
Knock, knock, knock. By the way, we're here.
I don't know what you're talking about. I pawned it years ago.
All right, 800-777-2907. Coming up, Sergio Garcia had a meltdown. We're going to have fun with this. Coming up next on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, when it gets cold out there, your vehicle needs some extra attention. O'Reilly Auto Parts has everything you need to keep your vehicle toasty warm. From choosing the right antifreeze for your engine, replacing your windshield wiper blades, O'Reilly will help you get your car or truck in fighting shape this winter. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. So, Ron, did you see this Sergio Garcia meltdown at Dubai or wherever he was over the weekend? I think it was
wherever
Dubai.
Wherever he was, yes, I did.
So, Sergio's in this bunker, and he's got this bunker. It looks like a pretty average bunker shot. I don't think it was hard in particular. So, he goes to hit the ball, and he hits the ball out of the bunker. It's not a great shot, but, it wasn't like he sculled it or anything. And then, as he's kind of looking down at the sand, he then takes his club and he goes whack, 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 whack at the bunker. He just tears up the bunker. And he's cursing in Spanish. He's bah, bah, bah. And he has this meltdown. And then he got disqualified because apparently he even damaged the greens. He damaged like six of the greens, which, what is he, 10? What is he, a child? What's he doing out there? It's a 40-year-old man. If you're a professional golfer, don't you think you take the good with the bad sometimes? You just go,
You know what? I mean, it's Sergio. How much bad can he? I mean, he is more known for, meltdowns than he is for tour wins.
Yeah.
Sergio, so at some point, it just might just get to you and you're just like, I give up. Maybe, maybe golf wasn't my thing. I don't know.
Was Sergio Garcia, was this a tournament he had to win, or something? Was somebody holding his family hostage or something? This was a meltdown.
I think bookies were after him.
This was actually the Saudi, it was in Saudi Arabia. I thought it was in Dubai, so my correction.
Right next door.
Right next door.
Walking distance.
It's one of those places.
A lot of sand.
You got to see this video. He is just.
It's fantastic.
He is a child. He is an absolute child.
Yeah, but haven't you been there before?
Oh, I've done this.
This is my question to you. More appealing to the everyday man, right? Sergio Garcia's meltdown this past weekend or Phil Mickelson not waiting for a ball to stop rolling before hitting it again?
But I loved Mickelson at the Open last year. I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was so great when he just was like, screw this. I think
Mickelson is more appealing because, we've all been upset. We've all wanted to break our club and, go total. Let's use it as a verb. We wanted to go Sergio on it.
Yeah.
But Mickelson to me, I can't tell you how many times I've done that more when, you lift a pup and you're like, no, I'm not waiting for this to end. And I almost want to get down like hockey style.
Oh, no kidding. I play with guys who sometimes, I have friends that I play with. We kind of trash talk each other a little bit. It's fun. But I've made putts where as soon as I've hit it, I kid you not, like a 20-foot putt, as soon as I hit it, my friend will go, slow down, ball. And he knows that's gone. I mean, that's not going to hit the hole, and it's gone. And it's going to roll off the green. It's probably going into the bunker, or it's rolling off the green down back into the fairway. And I want to run and chase that stupid thing because I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to go get a wedge and have to chip back up. And that's what Mickelson was saying when he did this at the Open. He was like, God, he goes, well, I knew I could take the penalty. He just was mad. Like, stop playing strategy. You were upset. You were just really bitter. The greens were really fast. You missed the putt and was going to roll back onto the fairway. But Sergio tears this bunker to pieces.
I mean, it really, what it looked like was Happy Gilmore.
It totally was Happy Gilmore. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what he was he expecting, like, I'm going to hit out of this bunker, it'll go in the hole?
Yeah, right, but...
I mean, from the look, I don't even know where the ball went, just because all I can be fixated on, even watching it over and over again, I'm just fixated on, like, Sergio's, here we go.
And so, according to the Scotsman, one of the reporters that were there, Sergio had been complaining about the grass, the greens on the grass. I'm sorry, the grass greens. I said that wrong. Early in the week. Then don't play in the tournament, man. You're a Masters champion. Like, don't play. Just leave. What are you doing? I think some of these guys really hate being embarrassed. They just hate.
Well, I think they don't like looking pedestrian.
Yeah, they don't. Because other players in other sports can hide their ineptitude. But golf, you can't. Like, when Phil Mickelson is 60 yards away with a wedge in his hand, I could be 60 yards away with a wedge in my hand. But I'll never know what it's like to go up against an NBA defense. So when James Harden misses a shot, you could say, well, I could miss a shot, but you probably would look worse going up against an NBA defense.
No, you'd probably have it blocked.
Right.
By a guy that's
same
like,
thing in
like,
tennis.
Yeah, you'd probably have your shot blocked by a guy who's 5 feet away from you.
Exactly. And like same thing in tennis. Like, you might see a player hit into the net or massively hit it out of bounds, but you're never going to field a 130-mile-an-hour serve.
Right.
Right. So in other
with
sports.
With all sorts of spin on it, and you have to read it. And
yeah, try throwing a pass when Aaron Donald is chasing you. Like, see how quickly you release the ball. Right. And accurately. But in golf, these guys hate being embarrassed. They hate being told, or not told, but they hate looking like us when we play, right?
Right. That's they're professional athletes. They want to be they have set a bar for themselves that separates them because, you know, they're getting paid. I mean, Sergio Garcia, the reason why he probably did that tournament was because that tournament paid him to come there.
Exactly.
And, you know, they're not going to pay you or I.
Right. And so when they miss a bunker shot, right? I was like, "Well, I miss bunker shots. That looks like me." That's as close as you're going to be able to compare you to a professional athlete, is that he chunked it in the bunker. I chunk it in the bunker. But if so-and-so strikes out against Max Scherzer, my God, I'd strike out on one pitch. I'd swing three times right
exactly.
on one pitch against Max Scherzer. Right. So,
or you would sit there and just hold the bat saying, okay, when are you throwing it?
Yeah. I'd be scared to death if Max Scherzer was pitching to me. I wouldn't see it.
He's so, like, come throw the ball. I did.
So that's why I think that's one of the reasons. Remember when Tiger Woods was like chunking chip shots? Remember?
Yes.
Terrible. I think he was like, I ain't going out doing this. I'm like, I'm not going
myself.
Out.
Well, it's
until
like I always
get this down.
Like I always say to anyone who is thinking about getting into the game of golf or is new at the game of golf or, you know, or just an avid golfer. I always say this is that, you know, you've had that one shot or that one round of golf that makes you think you could have been on the PGA Tour.
Oh,
had you applied yourself a little bit more.
Yeah, there's nothing better than the every now and then you hit a shot where you just catch nothing but ball.
Yeah,
and it's not clunky and it goes straight and you're thinking, oh my God, if I could just do this every time.
That was easy.
Yeah, right. It makes you go back. It makes you go back for more.
Like, I mean, if I just do that, I'll definitely get a score in the 70s, if not 60s.
But by the way, with the U.S. Open, I'm sorry, the PGA, I think, is at Bethpage in New York. And they have it in for Sergio anyway, so I can't imagine what the fans are going to tell him when he gets there.
They
got onto his case for being slow.
they just need to add more bunkers.
Sergio.
Just add a few more bunkers.
You're the best.
Maybe spell out Sergio and bunkers.
Guy hated the way he played. He vandalized greens and tore up a bunker. Oh, that's so happy. You're right. It's Happy Gilmore, baby. I love it. Way to go, Sergio. It is SB Nation AM, Tony D, Rod Culver on SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So, Ron, you've been following this Anthony Davis trade stuff with the Lakers?
Of course.
It seems like the Lakers are keep upping their offer, and the Pelicans are like, we'll wait. We'll see.
I don't know. It almost feels like if the Lakers just said, well, this is our final offer, we're not doing anything more, and just waited it out.
Right.
Or when it's all said and done, the Pelicans like, yeah, we probably would have traded him for the first offer.
What if you're the Pelicans and you go, nah, we're not trading him by the deadline. We're going to wait till the summer.
And we'll just lose him?
Just whatever. We'll see what happens. So we'll see.
But he's an unrestricted free agent, right?
I don't know if he is. I think it's to 2020, because I read he could be a rental player to 2020. So, But what if you're the Pelicans and you go, wait a minute, we'll trade you. We're not going to trade you to the Lakers. You want to go to the Lakers, go on your own. We're going to get the best deal possible. So you want to trade? Fine. You're going to have to spend the rest of your time with so-and-so. Go figure out how you're going to play for them or not. Maybe you'll be a rental player. I'm not really sure. But the Lakers are giving up, their first offer was very underwhelming, the Pelicans said. I don't think the Pelicans want to deal with the Lakers here unless the deal is absolutely overwhelming. But then if you're the Lakers, what kind of deal would be overwhelming to the Pelicans that would make them want to trade to you? I don't think the Pelicans want to play into Anthony Davis and his camp's hand. They don't want to play into his agent's hand, who has the same agent as LeBron. I think they want to make it like tough for Anthony Davis to go to the Lakers. Make it be like, okay, look, we want to do what's beneficial to our team. You know what's a problem with the Pelicans in this deal, though? Is this. If you're a Pelicans fan in New Orleans, if your team couldn't get good with Anthony Davis, when are you going to get good? Like, when are you going to be a team worth playing around with? Because they couldn't put anybody. They tried with Boogie Cousins, Drew Holiday. They couldn't find anything that worked with the Pelicans with Anthony Davis, which is why Anthony Davis wants to go play somewhere else, wants to play with a contender. I think he wants to play in L.A. anyway. But nevertheless, he wants out, and they could not build a winning team around him. So what player could they get in the draft or wherever that would all of a sudden go, oh, well, now we're good? Like, now, if you can't win with Anthony Davis and put a team around him, what player can you put a team around with? How is the management going to sell the Pelicans going forward? You had one of the better players in the league. You were mediocre, fighting for a playoff berth. If all of a sudden you in the draft, you get some superstar kid that's, well, great, then the Pelicans are like, fine, well, great. We have another great player that we can't build around, and he's gonna want to leave too. Like, they haven't shown any ability of putting together a team around Anthony Davis. So how do you get excited about this? Like, you have to be rooting for a team that has the ability to create something, that has the ability to create one of these super teams. And if you can't, then tough luck. That's why what's going on in Denver is so remarkable. Like, name me two Nuggets on that basketball team that's in first place in the Western Conference. Name me two Nuggets, right, if you haven't been paying attention. Besides Nikola Jokic. Besides Jokic, name me two other guys on the team. I bet most people can't. And yet they're the top team in the Western Conference tied with Golden State. And here we are in February. This is not early, November with, 10 games in. It's February and the Nuggets haven't gone anywhere. Now, I don't know how good the Nuggets will be in the postseason, how tough of an out they'll be when we get to it. But if you're the Pelicans and you had Anthony Davis this whole time and you still couldn't find something that made you competitive enough to compete for a championship or not even make the championship, but just be competitive, and you couldn't who comes to New Orleans that you can build around? Like, I wouldn't get excited about young players from the Lakers. Why would I be excited about that? First round pick. Great. We could just waste another talent. So.
Well, I mean. And
I wouldn't acquiesce to Anthony Davis's demands.
That, but I mean, if you trade Anthony Davis to the Lakers are all of a sudden become a better team. That first round pick isn't, I don't think, it's not even a lottery pick.
Right. No.
You're picking later in the draft, and chances of you getting the lucky roll of the dice and trying to grab like a Zion Williams or something like that, it's not going to happen.
We talked about this last week when the Knicks traded Kristaps Porzingis. That's fine. I don't mind that trade. If I'm a Knicks fan, I'm okay. The only problem with being a Knicks fan is that you don't trust the management. Right, you don't trust the management to do anything with it, like to utilize the two max contracts you can give and whatever draft pick you get to make a competitive team. If you're in New Orleans, that confidence is even worse. Like if you're in New Orleans and you lose Anthony Davis in a trade because you couldn't be a winner with him, well, you're never going to be a winner. That's never going to happen. So
speaking of the Knicks, I saw a great tweet and I wish I had saved it, liked it, or done something with it. But it was the fact that the Knicks haven't won a game at home.
Oh yeah,
Madison Square Garden.
Long time.
So this guy listed people who have won more previously at Madison Square Garden than the Knicks. And, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, it was like one of them was the Hawks, Atlanta Hawks, obviously.
Atlanta Hawks.
But one was, I think, Ronda Rousey has won more recently. But the best was at the end, he said, if they're not careful, a dog is going to win.
Yeah, that's right.
Before the Knicks do.
That's right. The West, isn't that coming up
soon?
Yeah,
it's usually right around this time.
Is that where Peterman from Seinfeld runs, does that? He does the.
I think
Mr.
so.
Peterman
he's like
the,
one of the hosts
the host?
Or something.
Yeah, whatever his name is in real life.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
But I mean, that, and you look at this Knicks team, and I said, yeah, you know what? I don't see them winning again.
Yeah, no.
Not just at home. I mean, they haven't had Porzingis at all this season. He's been out. Yeah. But I mean, you still look at that team like, God, that's a really awful looking team. It's even gotten worse because now you got guys trying to learn a new system in a new place, and it's not going to work out.
By the way, Kobe Bryant had some things to say about James Harden. Said the Rockets won't be competitive if he keeps scoring all the points.
He's right.
He's right. He's 100% right.
Yeah.
The Rockets.
But Kobe knows from experience.
Yeah, he knows from experience is right. That's exactly right.
Kobe's my guy. Hey, I'm a big Kobe fan. I hate saying that about him, but he knows exactly what he's talking about.
Somebody went down that road before James Harden, and he's making the comment, right? But I like what, like, Harden's doing it because right now, like, Chris Paul's kind of getting back into it now, and Clint Capella is still out. You know, there needs to be somebody scoring 40 points.
Well, I mean, and it's amazing, too. I mean, here we're watching a guy who's clearly running away with MVP.
Right.
I don't know of anybody else right now you can make a legitimate argument about, except for, you know, if the NBA, if NBA writers had the brass to do it, I would say, you know, the MVP should be Nuggets.
Yeah, as a team?
As a team.
Yeah, they're 37-16.
Yeah, and I mean, you sat there and you said name two. I'm like, I'm struggling to name one.
Yeah, I mean, it's Mike Malone has done a fantastic job. I mean, it's an amazing basketball team that, like, I still can't figure out. Like, I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, well, okay, the Nuggets are really kind of a middle of the road Western Conference team.
Yeah, but they have no business doing what they're doing.
Yeah, and they'll lose like 2 out of 3, and you're like, okay, what's going on? And then they'll win 6 in a row, and then they're incredible.
Well, they're doing the thing that the Oakland A's did. Remember, we did the same exact thing in baseball with the A's, where we kept joking around like, hey, name us three A's.
That's right. That's right.
And the problem, and what they're doing, and it's what the Nuggets are doing. They're winning the games that they're supposed to be winning, and they're losing the games, you know, like against the Warriors or against, you know, high profile teams that we look at and go, yeah, of course you're going to lose to the Warriors, or of course you're going to lose to the Raptors.
Yeah, they had a game with Golden State, say mid January, I think. They had a game against Golden State where the Warriors scored 51 points in the first quarter. Like they were willing to be like, okay, you think you're on this level with us? Fine. They beat them 142-111. And so all of a sudden it was like, well, okay, wait. In a 7-game series, are the Nuggets really going to beat Golden State in four out of seven times?
Of course not.
Of course not.
But, right? It's not stopping us from talking about them right now, saying, could easily see this team in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, yeah, and they certainly can beat teams in the West in a series that are they can beat the Clippers probably. They can beat the Rockets.
You have the Rockets back to full strength, who were literally a Chris Paul injury away from going to the NBA Finals last season. They could beat them right now.
Man, that was sad. I was so pulling for the Rockets last year. It was unbelievably silly. And then this year I was like, well, okay, I know they had lost some players. You know, they got players gone. But I was like, I'm still think the Rockets are a team. And then they just never injuries and slow start and never really kicked in. And now this is a fun 30-plus streak that Harden is on. But if you look at their record, it's like they still are like 6-6 over their last 12. I mean, it's just keeping them in games, and maybe they pull it out and maybe they don't. But definitely if he doesn't do that, they're not in the game, right? But he can score 44 and they're losing, and he can score 47 and they win. But it's just, this is an incredible scoring streak. But Kobe's right. I mean, look, they got to find other things because this is the way the NBA is now. So I don't know. I just, this Nuggets team is still, like, going back to them, this Nuggets team is really perplexing how they're doing this.
It's the Oakland A's. That's the only thing I can think of. It's exactly what the Oakland A's did. It's just, you know, grind out, win the games that you're supposed to, you know, play small ball, play team basketball, and, you know, you find out little ways in each and every game. Take one game at a time and just find out ways to win. And they got a good recipe going.
Last night, like, Trey Lyles led them. I was like, wow, they have Trey Lyles? I didn't even know they had Trey Lyles.
What's a Trey Lyles?
Yeah, I was like, wow, he came off the bench. He scored 20 points. Wow, I didn't even know he was on the team. Right. And they have a Plumlee. Wow. Mason Plumlee. I didn't know. Right. It's one of those things where
let's be fair. Every team has a Plumlee.
Every team has a Plumlee. And if you don't, get one.
Yeah, go get yourself a Plumlee.
Go get yourself a Plumlee. You'll totally love it.
They're on the discount aisle.
Oh, when's the trade deadline? Thursday, I think. I think it's Thursday. Right. It's coming up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'll see what the Pelicans do with Anthony.
They're not going to do it. It's all talk.
They just can't. They're not going to capitulate to the Lakers, are they? They say it's being reported that they're not even picking up the calls. They're not like, Lakers, you have to come up with something better. What was it, like Kuzma, Rondo? It was like a pick, a couple of other guys.
Lonzo.
Like,
they threw Lonzo Ball.
Oh, yeah.
In
well,
there.
By the way, Lamar Ball goes, I want my kid to play for Phoenix and I'll talk it into existence. I thought we were done with this cat.
Nope.
Stop quoting this guy.
Why Phoenix now?
Why would he want to play? Why Phoenix? Like, maybe
why
it
not?
Makes sense.
You know what? Maybe that's what. Maybe the Lakers need to withdraw Ball from the talks. Maybe the Pelicans are looking like, God, we don't want that headache. You know anybody but him.
You know what I got to do now? I got to go to some analytical website for the NBA advanced stats and go, oh, you know what? He'd actually be a good fit for the Phoenix offense, right? Because that's basically what we do. Oh, my God. By the way, I get lost in. You ever go to NFL Next Gen Stats?
I try not to because that's a YouTube wormhole.
Let me tell you something about Next Gen Stats. Like, I finally started diving into it this season. There are days where I'm like, I don't have the education level to understand some of these advanced statistics.
But you're still looking at it. You're still mesmerized. Going out. You're trying to figure it out. And the next thing you know, it's like, wow, I just woke up and it's dinner time.
Yeah, I tell my wife all the time. I'm like, look, I just come here for a second. I said, they chart every single run and route that these guys were running. And they'll tell you the speed. They'll tell you how open the guy was. I mean, really, Next Gen Stats. I mean, it's another level of statistics. So if you're into that kind of thing, and some of you are, and some of you just, forget it. But if you're into that kind of thing, I recommend it. You're right. It's a wormhole. But you can do that for hours. It's crazy.
You can. You can totally nerd out.
82games.com will do that same thing for NBA. You can. It's another one of those.
Okay. Were they the ones that charted every LeBron James block?
That's still amazing. Who's doing that? Right?
Who's doing that? No one is. You're just making stuff up.
He's doing that. All right. It's SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
So quick question. If the Warriors go to the NBA Finals, will we have Warriors fatigue? Or
I think we already do.
Don't we already do?
Yeah.
They win a lot too. Yeah, I'm just curious. People don't want to see the Patriots, but they don't want to see the Warriors either. Remember when the Warriors won their first one? I was like, oh, this is fun. Look at this team. It was the same way with the Patriots when they won their first. Oh, this is great. They beat the greatest show on turf. This is awesome.
We love the Warriors. Like, God, this guy, Steph, he just shoots from anywhere on the floor.
This is amazing. This is amazing. And then after a while, it's like, oh, all right. Another win.
Then we pick players. I'm a big fan of Klay Thompson.
Yeah, right?
Because
yeah.
He's quiet.
He's quiet. Right?
He doesn't get enough credit for that Warriors team.
Can't believe Kevin Durant would just join a bunch of winners. Right? Patriots go to the Super Bowl. It's like, oh, I'm not watching.
Yeah, all Draymond Green is good for is kicking people in the nether regions.
I got a question. What do other people, like people who don't watch the Super Bowl, what do they watch? What's on? Is anything compelling on? Or they
no,
read a book?
Nothing.
Or they do something else? Like every
do you go to a movie?
Like every network kind of goes, let's just throw something crappy on, don't matter, just whatever, and like we're not going to debut anything awesome during the Super Bowl.
Every network, what they do is they have that movie that they just in the can, like, oh, we have to show it X amount of times justify, you know, paying for the copyright. It's like, we'll just throw that on because they even know. I mean, no one – can you imagine if you're like, you know, what the Super Bowl was on CBS this year. If you're the head of Fox, you're the head of NBC, what are you watching? Are you watching your own network?
No, right, I mean, exactly.
You're watching the Super Bowl.
Good point. You're not even watching your own network. If you're Fox, you go, find me – like, give me like a Simpsons marathon. Just throw something on. I don't care. Put something on TV. I don't. What are you going to do? It's a Super Bowl. Then the Academy Awards used to be like that too, right? It'd be like whoever was it ABC that used to have the Academy Awards every year.
Yeah, it's still somewhat is. I mean, it's kind of the interest kind of. What I remember growing up with the Academy Awards were it was the female Super Bowl. It was for moms. Yeah. Basically, it's like
their thing. Watch dads, the red carpet. And all
yeah,
that good
dads
stuff.
had the Super Bowl. Moms had the Academy Awards.
I hated when the draft did that, and they do this red carpet thing now, where like you go to like we're going Nashville is going to have the draft, and there's going to be like a red carpet for the picks, the guys that are going on the first day. And what are you wearing? Clothes? What do you mean? What am I wearing? I'm about to be a football player. What are you talking about? What am I wearing? Good Lord! Right? If I see Ryan Seacrest on the red carpet, man, I'm going to lose my mind. Stop invading my stuff, Ryan Seacrest. When he was at the Olympics, I was like, wait a minute. There aren't, like, real sports reporters that could be doing this instead of Ryan Seacrest? SB Nation Radio.